Today on Real Life Radio.
You focus on Revelation broken up by Jesus' outline, and you'll never have a problem with understanding biblical prophecy. He wants you and I to know.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, Who is Jesus Christ Today? No longer the humble Galilean who preached along its shores, Jesus is now the Son of God empowered, sitting on his throne and worshiped above all. And when we come to the realization that Jesus Christ is on the throne in our lives, we'll never be the same again. You see, we need to take the book of Revelation and make it personal. In those long and lonely days and months that John was exiled on the island of Patmos, he was deeply aware in his own heart what God was revealing to him. The revelation of Jesus Christ was shown to John by God in the spirit realm, and he too would never be the same again. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack asks, Who is Jesus Christ today? He is the Jesus who comforts us. He tells us things so we can know that He is the Christ, our Savior, and our Redeemer, who has freed us from death, so we too can have everlasting life. And now in his message called, Who is Jesus Christ Today? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Another thing we see in verse 15 is this, that He's the Jesus who is for us, having suffered the wrath of God's judgment upon Him. Jesus, having suffered the wrath of His Father's judgment for sin in our place. Verse 15 says, His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. Brass. Throughout the Old Testament, the book of Revelation points us always to the Old Testament. Brass speaks about the wrath or judgment of God. Hey, when you're going to talk about the military, what do you call the military by nickname? Anybody? The brass. The brass. The leadership of the military is known as the brass. Why? That's an old saying. You want to know why? It's the military that brings judgment for that invading nation. Are you with me? The brass. Brass always speaks of judgment. Brass. Bronze. The brass here speaks about the judgment of Christ. Listen. Who's Jesus Christ to you today? Brass coming in judgment? Or brass, Jesus having been judged on the cross for our sins in our place? Which is it for you today? When Jesus Christ comes back, will you be fearful and afraid of His coming because you don't know Him? And He's coming in judgment? Or can you say, I thank God for that brass, for that nature of Christ having died in my place? He took upon me the judgment that I was to receive. He took upon Himself the things that I was to receive. He suffered the suffering that I was to suffer. He went in my place on the cross, and God, as it were, heaped on Him all of my sins at the cross. Jesus was in my place. When Moses made the serpent in the wilderness, what did he make it out of, people? Brass. And he raised it up, and he made the announcement to the people of Israel who had sinned, look to the serpent made out of brass hanging on the pole, and you will be saved. Serpent, the symbol of origin of what? Sin. A serpent on a pole, judged. Satan, Jesus says, was judged regarding the cross. Jesus said that He paid for our sins, debt at the cross. And when Jesus was lifted up, He was, as it were, in our place on the cross. And God heaped on Him my failure, sin, my rebellion. His feet were like fine brass. That's a tremendous thing. His feet. Notice this. See the contrast? Notice this. Who is Jesus Christ today? With all due respect, He's not the Galilean walking around in a casual sense. His feet no longer needs to be washed. His feet are no longer getting dirty. Yes, according to Zechariah, apparently His feet will always be pierced. The holes of His crucifixion will always be in His feet for all eternity. But His feet are like brass now. They're not the flesh that was once subject to the anger of men. Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication." That is in the last closing periods of the tribulation period. Then at the close of the tribulation period, "Then they will look upon me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn." Jesus Christ will come, though his feet be as brass, his feet will be pierced. It's an awesome thing. Verses 15 to 16 go on to tell us that who is this Jesus? He's the one that is for us, having called us by name. "And his voice," John says, "was the sound of many waters. And he laid his right hand, or in his right hand were seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like that of the shining sun in its full strength." So his mouth had these two aspects, the sound of it and the sword of it. That's a tremendous thing. Well, John says it sounds like water, a lot of water. Have you ever been around a lot of water? It's kind of hard for us in California to be around a lot of water unless we go up to Northern California, maybe. Or how about if we go down to the beach, you know, when there's a southern swell from a Mexican storm and the waves are huge. You go to the Wedge in Newport there and the waves are pounding. You ever been near there when the waves hit so hard it shakes the ground? You can have a multi-million dollar home on that beach and that home will shake. What about the North Shore of Hawaii or some other part where the waves are massive and crashing and it shakes? I tell you, you're humbled. You don't say, "Well, come on, let's go." Puts fear into you. John's trying to tell us something. And his symbolism reaches us. When he spoke, it sounded like water, a lot of water. Water's very neat. You can walk outside nearly in any direction of this church and bump into a fountain. Why are those fountains there? Well, honestly, predominantly, main reason, moving water is a symbol of living water. That's why they're there. Secondly, they're very calm and soothing. Third, the city wanted water there so you wouldn't hear the freeway. But that's not that important to us. The first two things are important to us. Soothing, living water, makes us think. Has a tendency to calm you down. Very neat, huh? But can you imagine if we put a 427 super turbocharged pump in that thing? And that water shot up about 300 feet in the air and it came back down, and that water would hit the ground, you know what? You'd run away from it. I find Jesus' voice a really interesting thing. Sometimes he speaks to me and it's like gentle, peaceful water. And it's soothing to me. And then there's times like John saw when he turns and he speaks and it puts you instantly in a state of godly fear. You know what I'm talking about? I'm so grateful that the Jesus I know today calls me by name. Does he call you by name? Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." They hear my voice and they know it. John 10:3, Jesus said unto him, "The doorkeeper will open, and the sheep that hear his voice, and he calls them on his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings his own sheep out, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And the sharp, two-edged sword of his voice is the word of God. Revelation 19:5 says, "And out of his mouth," Jesus, "goes the sharp, two-edged sword, that with it he should strike the nations." That is in judgment. I wish we were in that chapter, but a month or so away, I don't know. Take a while. His glory. Verses 17 to 18 is our third point. Who is Jesus Christ today? He's the Jesus who comforts us. I'm going to have you jot down six things very quickly. He's the Jesus who comforts us. And I love this part. And I'm going to try to stay on track because, brother, I could go off on this point right here for months. And I mean months. This is so exciting. John says, "I fell at his feet." Or when I saw him, excuse me, "I fell at his feet as dead." Church, we're getting smart now about this book. Did John die? No. Was he dead? No. He fell down at the feet of Jesus like he was dead. In other words, he probably wished he was dead, seeing heaven and all of its glory. "But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. You can study the rest of the Bible. You can study these two verses for the rest of your life. He's the Jesus who comforts us. How so? Well, listen to this authority that he speaks. He comes and he lays his right hand upon John. Church, listen, you want God's right hand upon your life. You want to be seated at his right hand. You want to have his right hand of blessing. The Bible tells us that it's God's right hand of strength that he protects us. Are you with me? Don't ever be on the left side. Now, I'm not saying to any of you on this side of the church right here. But if you happen to appear before the throne of God and you're on the left side, oh boy, are you in trouble. Because it's on the right side that he says, I'll defend you. I'll argue your case. I will justify you. It's on his right hand that he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. It's on his right hand that he says, come into the kingdom. It's on his right hand. Are you on the right hand of God? Apparently, God's right-handed. Rather than argue with him about it, get on it. He says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and to those who are on my left, I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting torment. He's got absolute authority. And he raises his hand and puts it upon John, who's now flat on his face. And John says, he laid his right hand upon me. His hand of favor. The hand of right is the hand of agreement. The hand of right is the hand of acceptance. The hand of right is the hand of association. Because his right hand is upon me. Psalms 18:35 says, you have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. John says, all authority is his. And number one, he put his hand of authority upon me. That's a wonderful thing. Number two, jot it down. He said to me, do not be afraid. Imagine that for a moment. Jesus touching you right now, saying, don't be afraid. It's all going to work out. Number three, here's the reason why you don't need to be afraid. John touches him. He says, don't be afraid. John could have said, why not? Jesus could have said back, because. I'm going to tell you something. It's number three on your notebook. I am the first and the last. That's why you don't need to be afraid. I am the totality of God's word revealed to man. That's what that means. I'm the consummation from Genesis to Revelation and beyond. That's what that means. I am the word from the first to the last from the mouth of God. That's what that means. I am the first and the last. That's why you don't need to be afraid. Christian, next time you get afraid, remind yourself, he's the first and the last. That means you can grab onto his promises and they will come through for you because he is the first and the last. All authority, all power. Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. He says in verse 18, I am he who lives. Oh, if you belong to a cult right now, hang on to your little cult information. Hang on to your seats. Get ready to be embarrassed and be put to shame. Jesus Christ says, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. The Bible says from Genesis to Revelation, there's only one who is the first and the last. And that is God. All power. I invite you this morning, my friend, to know the life that he offers forevermore. I plead with you today. I would beg with you today to know Jesus Christ this way. Number four in these points. This is not the fourth point. This is number four in the little thing, the description we're given here. This is number four. I am he who lives and was dead. That's number four. I am he who lives. That is, I'm alive. The word means never to die again. That's good news. Listen, put your faith in anything else in this world. You're going to be disappointed. But put your faith in him who lives forever, never to die again. You'll never be disappointed. I am he who lives and was dead. When he says that I was dead, it means this, that in my body I suffered to the extreme. Look at it. That's what he's saying. I was dead. Behold, look at my body. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, look at me. Number five, this is why you don't need to be afraid. I am alive forevermore. This is good. I'm alive forevermore. Listen to this. That is, I will be alive throughout the eons upon eons of ages, epochs upon epochs without end. You can't get it any more clear. I am the one who lived. That is, I became human into this world. I died. I rose again from the dead, never to die again. And the life that I now live, having been resurrected, it will continue for epochs upon epochs of ages, aeonio post aeonio, eons upon eons of time. I'll never end. How long will you be saved in heaven? As long as Jesus lives. How secure will I be in heaven? As long as Jesus lives. How long will Jesus be living? Forever. Man, that's good news. Number six. I have the keys of hell and death. We can close the book and run home right now, go get some ice cream, something. I have the keys of hell and death, he says. I've got the keys. I got the key. Who's got the key? Well, Satan had a lot of control until after the resurrection of Christ. When Jesus rose again from the dead, Satan was defeated. Jesus got the keys. And you don't get the keys, and I don't get the keys. We don't want the keys. Jesus, you keep the keys. I'll lose the key. You keep the key. And Jesus, you just, I got the key. Oh my goodness, this brings us tremendous comfort. He's got the key. And he says, listen, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'll keep the keys. You enjoy the kingdom. I own the car. You can drive it. How exciting is that? Do I do the final point? We got five. Oh no, we're 5 minutes over. Let's do it. Let's go. Who is Jesus Christ today? Very quickly, closing point. We'll end the chapter, verses 19 to 20. He's the Jesus who comforts us this way. He says, I want you to know it. Oh, church, listen. This chapter closes with an incredible crescendo. He says to John, write these things. Write them down. Write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. These are the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches. Quickly this. Who is this Jesus Christ today, my friend? He's the Jesus who comforts us this way. He doesn't want to keep secrets from us. He tells us things. He wants us to know. He says, write it down. You ever tell somebody something important? Write it down. Oh, I remember. Write it down. Repeat it back to me. No, I got it, I got it. Look, write it down. Jesus says, John, write it down. No, I got it. Write it down. Here's what I want you to write. Church, you're all going to be super theologians in a moment. Seriously, get out your pen. It's very, very awesome. It's the only book in the Bible that does this. And Jesus does it. He gives you an outline to understanding the book. He wants you to know. Number one, write down the things which you have seen. That's chapter one. Number two, write down the things which are. That's chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the churches. And apparently Jesus likes three-point sermons because here comes the third and final point. And write down the things which will take place after this. Chapters 4 to chapters 22. You focus on Revelation broken up by Jesus' outline and you'll never have a problem with understanding biblical prophecy. Next week, we'll get into that more and more. He wants you and I to know. Verse 20 tells us he wants to teach us the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand. Who are the seven stars? He says, listen. And the seven lampstands. The seven stars are seven angels. Get a load of this. The word is angelos or messengers. Most scholars agree on this. That the seven angels are not angelic angels. That the seven angels are the seven pastors of the seven churches that he's referring to. Some scholars say that it's seven angels to watch over the seven churches, but that's stretching it. Jesus Christ is saying that over each of these churches, I have placed a pastor over that church, and I call them my messengers. If they're his pastors, they're going to be speaking his message to the church. Well, I don't like you as a pastor. Well, go somewhere else. But wherever you go, if that pastor's installed by God, God considers that pastor his messenger to that church. Well, now I really don't like you. Well, then go somewhere else. But wherever you go, that pastor by God has been installed as his messenger to that church. And the seven lampstands are the individuality of the seven churches. He teaches us this. The book is now open. People, we're done. And when I put this together, I got it out of my system, but it made me cry writing this stuff down. I won't cry now. But you know what? I did a little bit of homework. Are you ready for this? We're in chapter one. We just concluded chapter one. What do we know thus far? Remember what the book said in the introduction when we came together? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of him. Do you know what we know in one chapter? Are you guys with me? Wake up, we're done. But you need to grab this. If you missed everything else, grab this part. It's this. One chapter behind us now, and this is what we know out of that one chapter. That he is Jesus. That he is the Christ. That he is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten of the dead. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He is the one who comes with clouds. He is the one who was pierced for us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the Lord. He is the Almighty. He's the Son of Man. He is the one that liveth and was dead and behold is alive forevermore. In one chapter. In one chapter, just one chapter, this is what we know about Jesus Christ. This is what we know about him who is our Savior and our Redeemer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word ignites our hearts. And Father, we find ourselves this morning frustrated with our inability to express more clearly and fully the grandeur of you who we worship. Lord, it's you that we lift our hands up to. It's you that we sing our praises to. God, it is you whom in our service to your people on this planet, in this church, that day by day and moment by moment, Lord, we strive that we might be doing it your way. God, that we might be watching over your church, for these are your people, and you have bought them at a price, the price of your own blood. Lord, you are altogether awesome and powerful. And all authority belongs to you and all judgment. And Father, this morning as a church, we go from this place with our hearts aglow. God, you are awesome in power, in might, in life, in death, and that you have the keys to hell and to death. And Lord, you have freed us. And we thank you that at this hour enthroned in heaven, in all of your glory, your hands are pierced. And your feet, reminding us for what you've done for us on the cross. And Lord, it is with a glad heart now the church here says thank you. For we pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people shouted, Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Who is Jesus Christ Today? Thanks for joining us today. Who is Jesus Christ Today is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the Lord wants us to understand just how amazing our future is going to be, to confirm in our hearts what we know to be true about the end times, and to look forward to our eternal life in heaven with Him. We may live in a crazy, mixed-up world, but we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, God's Word to strengthen us, and a future that is worth waiting for. This is why Pastor Jack has devoted his website to the kind of content that keeps our minds on Christ and provides us with some great sound biblical doctrine to meditate upon. So head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, check out the media section, devotions, and how to know God in a personal way. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and more Real Life Radio episodes. And while you're there, be sure to download the Real Life mobile app for quick and easy access to all the great programming that Pastor Jack has to offer. Again, the website is jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.